everybody. It's Tammy here from the Show Owner Project, having another one of our little mini-sodes. We've been chatting with some of our ambassadors over the last few weeks, getting to know them a little bit better. Today, I'm joined by Therese. Hi, Therese. How's your day going?
Good.
Good. We love these chats. And every time we have these chats, we kind of send you an email beforehand to say, what are the things that you like to talk about? What are the things that are concerning you? What's going on in your life? You know, what would you like people to hear about? And one of the things that you said a couple of times was about things that parents say on different topics. And it's obviously something you notice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just to say, we're not necessarily talking about your parents. I just want to cover your ass there, Therese. Trouble for this. But like, why is this something that you've noticed? Why has this stood out for you, do you think?
I guess, like, no matter where you go, if it's like with friends or like with sports or like anything like that, you'll always have parents there. You're like, your parents will drop you. They'll be at your matches. They'll be helping you with exams. And you always kind of find them, like, they'll always say something. And a lot, some of the times it's not that great. And it, like, for other girls or for you, like, it can like knock your confidence on whatever it is, or it can make you like unsure of what you're going for.
Yeah, so I remember this. I was thinking about it, you know, when you brought it up, and I was thinking about like comments that parents, and not just parents, but like adults in general, would have made to me when I was growing up, that I possibly would have, like, looking back, I think they would have been like just real off the cuff comments, you know, without that much meaning behind them, maybe even joking sometimes. And I still remember them today and think about, like, oh my God, that completely changed the way that I felt about myself.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not intentional. Like, I remember I have a son who would have played, like, he was a really good soccer player. And we moved to Cork when he was like a young kid, like maybe 6 or 7. And we had him playing with the local club. And one of the coaches one day said to him, you go on goal, you're crap outfield or something like that. And it took us, I'd say, 3 years to get him to go back outfield again. He ended up playing for his county, you know, and winning medals and things like that for his county. But like, somebody made that comment on a day, and I'd love to go back and be like, why would you say that to like a 5 or 6 year old? You know, is that the kind of thing that you're getting at?
Yeah, like in sport, like you see it like the whole time, like coaches, they just like make little comments, like they mean it like in a good way. Well, sometimes, but like they can completely like knock your confidence. Like, this is kind of a stupid one, but I still remember it. And like, I like try not to do it now. But when I was, I'd say 5 as well, I came off like a match and my coach was like to my mom, oh, she does more talking than playing actual football.
Okay.
So since that day, like for years, I did not talk to my markers at all. I just stood there like quietly, like waiting for the ball. And now I'm just like, it's like, I know there's no point in it. And it's like, it was a silly little comment that like made me feel like I had to just fully go for one thing. And now like I chat away to everyone. If you play against me, I'm going to annoy you just by talking. Like,
yeah. So that's like your strength, you know, on the pitch. You're just going to like annoy everybody into like just giving up. They stop trying and they're just like,
yeah. Oh, and like even some like parents or like, I don't know, like coaches, they'll be on like the sidelines and like a girl might make a mistake and sure, they're like screaming at them about the mistake and they're whatever they're saying, and after the match they'll say it again. And then like whoever it is, like people might, like girls have gone off the pitch crying because of what like coaches have said, or even other girls, like what other girls on the pitch have said, and it's awful. Like you see, yeah. And they don't want to go back on, and so many of them want to quit then as well.
That's a really good point. One of the things that I have had parents say to me so many times is that they have all these arguments with their daughters because, you know, they wear too much tan in their eyes, not necessarily in the girl's eyes. She's obsessed with tan, or she's obsessed with false eyelashes, or her skirt is too short, and all of this kind of stuff. And it seems to be like an endless battle between parents and daughters. And like when you're young yourself, like you don't care and you're just like discovering your body and trying to figure out your style and all of that. And, you know, then when you're a parent, you're like, what, worried about what other people will think of your daughter. And sometimes that like becomes more important than how your daughter feels and thinks about herself. So like, How do we solve that problem? This is a big question. But
I think, to be honest, like, I know in a few years, whoever she is, like, in a few years, I might look back at half the clothes I'm wearing and half the makeup I do, and I might think, oh my God, that was awful. But if you're, like, not letting your child do her makeup how she wants to, dress how she wants to, she's gonna be, like, pretending to be someone she's not. She's gonna be breaking herself down to someone she's not, someone you want her to be. And in a few years, she could be a completely different person, but she'll still have the confidence that I can wear what I want, or the confidence that no, I really can't, like, I have to look a certain way. So I'm like the youngest of four siblings. I have a brother and two sisters, and when I was going into first year, my brother, he was in college, I'd say he was in second or third year of college, and my sister was just finished her leaving cert, and like my other sister was in fifth year, and they're both like really, really, like, they were really smart in school. I think, and like, it was the year of COVID, so Saran had, she'd just gotten her results when I was like coming into school, and she'd gotten, I think, yeah, she'd gotten 7 H1s, which is like mad, and I will never be able to get that, but that's another story. But when I went in, all the teachers, they knew me as Saran's sister, they knew me as Ellie's sister. Michael was a little bit of a troublemaker for a while, so they didn't so much care about him, but they knew me as that. So they knew me as like a person whose siblings always got like excellent grades. And even outside of school, people knew that she'd gotten whatever grade. So people were always being like, oh, you're Saran's sister, you're so smart. And like, so much pressure was put on me then to do amazing, like in exams, like in first year exams that are like so completely irrelevant at this point. Like, I had so much pressure on me to get like 100s, 90s. And then the pressure that was put onto me, I took. So then I was putting pressure on myself to get those grades. So I'd be going home and I'd like, I wouldn't have time to do things that I really liked. So I'd just be, I'd go to school and I'd study. And people were like, oh, she's so amazing, she's always studying, she studies so hard. But in reality, it was like the only thing I could do was study. So people wouldn't like think like worse of me. And then like it kind of went in a cycle, because then in school I'd be getting my good grades, and then people were like, oh, Trace is so smart, she got such a good grade, this, that and the other. So then I think, oh, I have to get it again, because people would then be like comparing me to them. So like compare, like in school and everything, like it completely like shuts you down and you feel like you have to do it then.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So like two things that's making me think about. The first one is, so if you're a sister who's older than you, get 7 H1s and then you get like 6 H1s and H2. Like, does that mean you failed, like when compared to so many other girls you've done so well? And then the second thing is, if you're doing it to live up to your sister's kind of legacy, why are you doing it? Like, you're not, like, what's your motivation? So your whole motivation every time you sit down to study is, I have to be as good as her.
Yeah, and eventually that's going to run out. Like, eventually that's going to run out and you've no other motivation, because that's all you were ever going off.
Yeah, and your sense of self and your confidence in yourself. Like, I always think about how hard it must be to be, like, Beyonce's sister, or, like, you know, Katie McCabe's sister, or, like, some big uber achiever, because like a lot of them are like super, super accomplished, but like there can only ever be one Beyonce, there can only ever be one like Katie McCabe. Like, it's just a huge amount of pressure on you. Either try and keep up and like probably fail, because like these people are at the top of their game, or just go in a totally different direction altogether. So what do you think? Like, how do you feel about that now in your approach to your life and your decisions that you make?
Now, I think it took me a while to get over, like, the you have to do amazing in school, you have to do that and the other. Like, I missed a lot of school last year, so then my grades weren't as good, and then I couldn't, I was meant to sit my junior cert, but I couldn't sit it because I'd missed too much school. And I think then it just kind of hit me, like, you don't need to be getting as good grades. Like, you don't need to be forcing yourselves. Like, there is like more important things, and like, you're not the same person. Like, I can do things, not in a cocky way, but I can do some things better than her, like than my sister, well, she can, like, she might be smarter than me, I might be better at a sport than her, while she might be, I don't know, better at cooking, I might be better at baking. And it's just kind of finding and realizing that you don't have to be like perfect at what everyone else is good at.
Well, Therese, I could always talk to you all day, but let's just carry this on another time. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Shonen Project podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.